Hello, hello, and happy Monday, everybody. Yeah, yeah. You are tuned into 305 Radio, a part of 305 Magazine on your number one underground station, MiamiUndergroundRadio.com. I'm your girl, Dre Mob, and you can catch me on the gram at 305 underscore Brownie. Shout out to Will, LMG underscore Willie.
Willie with two L's and a Y.
And a Y.
Shout out to Will. He's busy. He's doing his thing. And first and foremost, hi, Drea.
Hi.
How you doing? Doing 305 great. Underscore Brownie.
doing great. Happy to be here. We have two very special guests.
Yes, we do. Well, first and foremost, thank you for tuning in. This is George from 305 Magazine. And today we have the creators, the writers, MC, producer, God knows what else you guys got under your belt. The creators of Popova, which is, man, it's a powerful comic. Powerful, like it's left field, but let me introduce you guys first. We have Dre Torres and Alex Valdez.
What up, what up?
Welcome.
How you doing? What up, man? Thanks for having us.
Yes. So, Popova.
Totally up my alley, by the way.
Nice. All right.
Just kind of surprising that you guys would be the creators of this concept. So, I'm really interested to see where this all came from.
That's not the first time we've been asked that.
Shit, and the thing that bugs me out, man, I'm a comic fan, and shit, I grabbed this comic, and I didn't expect a squad of female hitmen and all this crazy drama to happen. So how'd you go from rhyming and production, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're putting together a comic?
Yeah, like, it seems sudden, but writing, like, especially screenplays is something I've always been doing. Mm-hmm. But I think Popova was the first time that we had something that we really wanted to produce one way or another. And originally it was gonna be a screenplay, or it was gonna be a movie. And we planned to shoot it black and white, super low budget and shit. Dope. And then we got realistic about it and we realized, okay, there's no way we're gonna be able to do this with the budget that we have, you know what I mean?
And I think it was partially inspired by all the music video making that we were doing at the time. Okay. We were shooting a lot of music videos for his projects, 95 Labs projects, and a lot of those music videos, they had storylines, and a lot of those storylines had real dominant female characters.
I've seen quite a few of them, and yes.
So it was kind of a trope that we had in a lot of the music videos that we did. So.
And it's something that we stumbled on, I think, organically. I don't want to say accidentally, but organically. You know, like all the videos just, like we kept noticing, like, okay, we keep making these videos that are like mini movies with strong female protagonists. So at some point, we're like, yo, let's write a screenplay about it. And I had read about this killer from the late 1800s called Madame Alexei Popova. She was arrested for killing about 300 men.
Good Lord.
And so when they asked
story,
her why...
True story.
Shout out to you.
She was definitely doing her thing, doing her big. But when they asked her why, she said to liberate women from their oppressors. So that was her whole thing. She ran a little disposal service where, like, women would come up to her if they're being abused or whatever, pay her a small fee, and she'd get rid of the dude, you know? And
that is amazing.
Yeah.
So her story inspires the characters in our story.
Man.
Exactly.
That is incredible.
Because based on her, what she did, like, you know, they took inspiration. And now we're in a modern-day Popova.
Man, you guys outdid yourselves, because that's exactly the opening of the first issue.
Yeah.
You know, you just caught me off guard. If you guys get a chance, get the first issue. Like, you have to get the first issue.
Popovaworld.com.
No, and that's the thing. Like, I want people to know where to get it. It's Popovaworld.com. Get this issue. Like, from the get, she's murdering people. And it blows my mind how you guys use these your storyline and different writing techniques just to get someone engulfed in your story early on. So you have the inspiration for Popova, but what's the inspiration for the whole scenery, the modern times, to have that in this era? Like, what inspired that?
Before you answer that, let me add on to George's question, because I'm all about women empowerment. We just had Girl Talk Radio right before this show. My question is, who are the women influences around you guys that kind of have instilled this, like, image of the protagonist, whether it's a music video or your comic or whatever?
Well, all my main inspirations are women, all of them. So I grew up in a house full of women. Like, I lost my dad early, so I grew up with my mom, my sister, and my grandmother. So I never really had that that outlook where, like, I thought women were inferior. I don't think it's about inferior. I think it's different. I don't think women and men are the same, but it was never a trying to qualify one or the over the other.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say the same thing for me. I mean, household of a lot of women, and also the culture. I think the culture at the time that we started to write this was, I would say, the roots of what's kind of brewing now, the culture wars that we're seeing. And it was, I think, a topic that we felt that was going to surface soon, and we wanted to explore dominant female characters, asking the question, what would happen if you reverse the roles?
I love it.
Yeah.
And it's reversing the roles in some sense, but I think on a deeper sense, it's more about women taking what it is that men have been using against them. So, like, when you start breaking down the concept of, like, a patriarchy, right? Let's say you believe there is a patriarchy. Next question you got to ask, how did that come to be? Why is there a patriarchy? Is it because of competence? I don't think so. Is it because of intelligence? I don't think so. So we came up, it has to be because of men's willingness to use violence. So this book is exploring women taking that particular aspect and turning it on its head. They're like, okay, this is what you guys use to get on top. We're going to flip that on you.
See that.
Yeah. Just thinking of the story, I'm like, yes, bro, yes.
I'm liking where this conversation is going.
The comic is really dope, man. I mean, again, why this point in time in the comic? Why not? Why didn't you put it in back in the days? Why didn't you put it in the era for pirates and captains?
Or even
and
in
ships?
The era that Madame
exactly. Like, why didn't you choose those eras versus this day and age?
Well, I think Tev mentioned it is like we kind of felt it bubbling. Like, you got to realize also when we wrote the screenplay to this, before we decided to turn it into a comic, we wrote it as a screenplay.
We thought we were going to shoot this on our own in black and white.
It was going to
do like a little indie budget type of thing.
But when we wrote it, that's prior to Trump, prior to Me Too, prior to all this stuff that's going on now. You know what I mean? We didn't write it as a reaction to this stuff. We already had
the vision.
We already had this in the can. Now, it just so happened that our vision started coming to life.
Talk about manifesting, right?
Yeah, that's for sure.
But that was completely, again, I don't want to say by accident, but I think we kind of felt a vibe in the air. Like, we felt that something was brewing, especially with the genders, with the sexes.
I mean, what actually got you to switch from the video aspect to go into a comic format versus any other format, probably a book? A short book or the whole story versus breaking it down into parts?
Well, there will be a short book.
I mean, but it's going to be a while before you get there.
But
what, like, but what brought, instead of putting out a complete book,
right?
Like, what sparked you up and said, man, you know, let's do this as a graphic novel, as a comic, and put it out?
I think that's a good question.
You mean as opposed to like a literary book?
As opposed to a literary book or
just a complete piece. You guys kind of broke it down. Yeah.
Instead of grabbing the whole Dark Knight series and slamming it into one book, you know, what inspired you to just break it down into stories?
Because we thought of it in a visual medium, in film. So if we would have broken it down into a book, we would have lost the visual aspect to it. So we wanted to keep it to where it still had a visual element to it. It's not the same, obviously, because in a comic book, there's no sound, there's no movement, but at least there's a visual element.
You're right. We wrote it in that sense. Like, when we first wrote the screenplay, it's like, if you read like what it is now, it's completely different than what the book is. And it's a lot of camera angles and, like, you know, point of views.
Yeah.
So,
but even on the screenplay, it had like the visual style was already described. It's in the screenplay, it says black and white. Like, we're already letting you know from the jump that we wanted to be black and
white. When we were writing it, we were envisioning a world black and white, you know, I think sort of Sin City-esque in a way, you know, not to use that word. I mean, the stories don't compare. They're two different things, but as far as the black and white aesthetic, you know.
Noir, like the film.
And the noir, you know, like the shadows and stuff like that, you know. So I think it just naturally led there because we're not going to be able to shoot this on our own. You know, it's like when we were writing it, it turned out to be something else. You know, like, I don't think it's feasible for us to, you know, do all the things that happen in that comic, you know.
Yeah, like, and it's two of us, too. You know, when you're doing film, can't make a film with two people.
So, to give you an easy answer, it's a budgeting issue.
Yeah. It's a budgeting issue. Logistics, too. It's a budget and logistics, you know?
So that's the short answer.
If it's Only if it's a two-man team for the story. Now, what artists did you get involved to bring your vision to life?
So that was the starting point of the mission. We're, all right, we're going to make a comic. I can't draw. You can't draw. So what the fuck are we going to do? Yeah, so we started going through like comics that we own. Because, you know, I've always been a comic book fan anyway. So it's not like the medium was foreign to me.
Yeah.
Started looking on the internet for like hot up and coming talent, and we found a couple guys, and this one guy, the first guy that was sending us like concept drawings, all the ladies had the huge breasts, and they were all like, it was like over sexualized, you know what I mean? And it was not the look that, it wasn't the vibe that we were going for, because this is kind of the opposite.
Thank God for that.
Yeah. it didn't feel right. Like the drawing itself was dope. Like right. He was a dope artist, but it's not the feel that
a lot of
clean. Yeah, it wasn't what you wanted to depict.
Yeah, kind of yeah, they were like wearing high heels, and it's like, ain't nobody gonna kick ass in high heels. Like,
says who?
I stand corrected. But so we pretty quickly figured out that we needed a female artist, at least to conceptualize the characters, and after that we could take it wherever. So.
Right.
Yo, so shout out to Yasmin Liang. She's out of Hong Kong, and she did a Star Trek comics. And a few other big mainstream publications. So she was the one I would say that really gave us the vision as to how the characters would look. And then from there, like you said, we ran into now a male artist. Shout out to Ari.
Yeah, it was important for the first, I think for the first comic to have a female artist, like I said, so because she's really the one that like captured the aesthetic of it, you know, and it had, like, it was just right, the look was just right, everything was just right, and I think now we can spin it off and have different artists interpret it, which I think is a cool thing, too.
That's dope, and, shit, man, I just thinking about this comic has me like, damn, right? I'm so happy you guys did this, because it's a great piece of work. It's really dope.
Did you have a chance to read issue 2?
No. No, I'm dying to.
We brought you a copy.
We got you a copy. I love you guys. Hell yeah. Yeah. Yo, I'm just waiting. I look over my shoulder because I know Dre's going to be like, no, but.
There's two copies.
All right.
She gave me that look like, that's my copy.
She brought a copy for me.
So now, you had a female conceptualize it, put it together for you. Now, you have different cultures. In the comic, the characters are different ethnicities. Mm. That was done on purpose, I imagine. So what is it? Are you trying to convey anything with that? Are you trying to go for anything? That's just a sign of the times.
I think that's a reflection of Brooklyn at the time. You know, we were living in Brooklyn doing the screenplay at the studio at 95 Labs where we were recording the music.
Yeah.
And I think that's a reflection of how the population in Brooklyn looks.
Yeah. The characters in the comic look like the people that.
So if we're setting it in New York, and it would have to look like.
Yeah, you got a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything, yeah.
Yeah.
Those people look like the type of people that would be in Popovo in Brooklyn. So
Yeah, like I know it sounds cheesy, but a lot of the way that it came together was pretty organic. Like we didn't put, it wasn't a lot of like, I think the story was a lot of intellect, but as far as like the look and stuff like
that. There wasn't too much thought process. It was just kind of like how it
went
along.
With what felt right, you know?
Okay.
We wanted to make it, it's a hyper real world, but it's based in reality, you know? Although, you know, hyper realistic things happen. But yeah. So we wanted to make it somewhat grounded in real life.
Yeah. I mean, there's, shoot, man, there's so much, I'm sorry, man, my mind's going a little fast here. When you guys first started this, I don't know a lot of people that start comics, period.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone that's open to comics. I've gone to Comic-Cons forever, but to meet someone that actually has gone through the grind, how was that whole experience?
And especially as a grown man, right?
I'm saying. You know, no, well, that doesn't really matter because look at the time we live in, man, because shit. We all grew up with G.I. Joes, Thundercats, and this and that. That's super awesome now. People are like, yo, that's, you had that?
Yeah.
Let me rock a Thundercats shirt.
Yeah, that retro stuff is in style.
You know what I mean? All that retro stuff that we lived, like if like kids, you know what I mean? They love it now. But how was this whole process of, you know, having the idea and manifesting it and finally having it physically in front of you? Like, what were some of the challenges when you guys were putting the physical part together?
Well, before even any physical shit happened, it was adapting it from a screenplay to a comic book script, which is like really different. You wouldn't think so, but it's very.
It's almost
very
like a whole rewrite. It's like rewriting it all over again.
Well, let's start there then. What? Give me a brief. I don't know anything about a screenplay. Mm-hmm. Tell me what a screenplay is.
So when you write a screenplay, or at least the way I do it, you write scene by scene. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're writing what you see on the screen.
Right. Okay. You're supposed to show, not tell. Now with a comic book, it's not scenes, it's pages and panels. Mm-hmm. So when you're going to send the script over to the artist, mm-hmm. unless you're going to trust them completely with your stuff, you have to give them very specific instructions of what it is that you want to see. So it'll be so in a comic book, it's like page one, panel one. Then you write what's happening in the panel, you write the dialogue, panel two, and you're gonna outline every page, like I want this one to have four panels, I want this one to have five, I want this one to be a splash page. Those are all things we had to learn on the fly, you know what I mean? Like, I went to film school, so I come from a filmmaking background. Mm-hmm.
But it's similar because you're describing a visual.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's different like with dialogue. You have to really condense the dialogue in a comic book because, you know, in a movie...
Kind of squeeze everything into a one panel, so they're not going to be talking that.
You got to fit it into one page. Also, a comic is not exciting if it's just two people sitting down talking. Yeah. That's the shit that you can get away with in a movie, not in a comic. You
know? Yeah, and plus, the words have to be impactful. The script has to be really impactful, every piece, to keep you there.
Yeah, you're looking at the words in a comic book.
Yeah.
In a film, you're hearing the words.
Of course, yeah.
So it's a different, it like you're intaking it differently, you know what I mean? And that affects the way you write it, you know what I mean?
So when you finally finish your project, how long did it take you to get the first issue done?
Oh. this is like the real talk. I mean, it takes a while. It took a while. We wrote the screenplay in probably like 2012, 2013, right?
Yeah, we wrote the screenplay in 2013.
Damn.
But we didn't start adapting it into a comic until 2016. And it took about 6 months since we actually started writing it as a comic until we got it printed and done. It took about 6 months.
Because we were doing other projects, you know, in between all this, and it's something that we were sitting on, and then, are we going to shoot it, are we not? And then it took a while to even decide that we were going to do a comic.
Yeah, we sat on it for a while. Like, we wrote the screenplay, and we kind of just sat on it and started doing other, like I said, we did The Blackest Rose, we did, like, other music projects and stuff.
Get that album, by the way. Word. Shit is hot.
95labs.com, right?
Yeah,
95labs.com, The Blackest Rose, and get all the other fly shit that's on there, man.
Yo, but... I have to stop you real quick. So we have a thing here.
Uh-oh.
You got to spit 16. I already know what you're going to ask. You got to spit 16, man. Come on.
It's not going to happen.
Come on, Shotty.
It's not going to happen.
God damn it.
I'm working on a music project that once I get out of this like comic book mode and shit, because that's one thing I believe in. It's like, and me and Tev talk about this all the time. It's like, you can't be concentrating on too much shit at once. You know what I mean? So for like... And it's not even to try to be like a party pooper.
No.
He's appearing as Dre, not Shoddy.
Right, right.
Exactly. he's appearing as Dre, apparently, not Shoddy
like,
today.
I'm not even there right now. I'm not even in that mind frame right now.
And you don't write?
No, I don't write. I haven't like actually.
No, he
written.
Actually doesn't write.
That shit is amazing.
I have a witness.
That shit is amazing to me, yo.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? So you got to come back at Shotty.
Yeah, you got to come
back. Yeah, I'll come back. I'm doing a music project.
We'll come back and promote the music.
I'll rap for 30 straight minutes, bro.
Goddamn.
You got it. I'm going to hold you to that.
And I got it on video.
Y'all saw that. Y'all heard that.
I had my fingers crossed.
But that's dope, though.
I rap in the shower.
Yeah, we're not going to shower. Nah, but I've been warned you. I've been warned you, didn't
he? Did.
I knew it.
He did.
I knew it. Yeah, we had him on, and he had great things to say about your upcoming projects, your ideas, and whatnot. So
shout out to D.U. Ivan, who's actually touring and doing a lot of stuff. He actually turned me on to you as an artist, so shout out to him.
Yeah, that's
shout out to Ivan, yo. Hey, I'm proud of that man, dude.
Yo, I was going to say that, like, it sounds condescending when you say I'm proud of someone, but, like, I'm really proud of that dude.
Fuck
bro.
Yeah, man.
He's doing good right now, man.
From where I met him, which was your mother's favorite, to where he's now, and he's always said, yo, I want to do this, I want to do that. He's doing it.
Yeah.
He's doing all of that, man. I'm very happy for him, bro.
And he's a really hard-working dude, man. And
yeah.
We have a project coming out, too. We have a...
Don't tell. Exclusive.
A film. We got a...
exclusive!
Yeah. We have a TV, like a comedy TV series that we're developing together.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
So he's going to be starring it. We kind of came up with the concept together. I'm writing and directing, and he's starring it.
See, he gave us tidbits You give us more tidbits.
Oh, he talked about this?
No, he said it's top secret. You can't talk about it.
Oh, shit. I didn't get that.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Dre always comes through with the exclusive. You know?
It's been leaked.
Yeah, but we don't have anything to go on.
We will. They'll be back.
Soon. I mean, so this is the thing that baffles me, man, is you're a talented MC, bro. You're one of my favorite MCs in Miami.
I appreciate that.
I just want to make sure I tell you that to your face.
I hear that from a lot of people, by the way.
For real.
I appreciate it.
Wordsmith, beast, bro.
I don't take that shit for granted, bro.
I hope not, because, dog, your material is dope, yo, and your beats are insane. So I'm really happy that it's both of you guys that made this. Because when I saw, I was like, Alex Valdez. I don't know who this is. I know Shabby. I know Drake. But Alex. And then now I find out you're Tev. Oh, forget about it.
Yeah, just kind of real. Just figured that out, too.
Yeah, shit is dope, man. It's dope because you got dope production, man, across the board. And it's Blackest Rose was insane. And I hate to make this a Blackest Rose plug, but it is.
That's one of my favorite albums that I produced, man, honestly.
Word?
Yeah, that's one of my, like, I think it's probably up there with if not my favorite project.
That's dope.
Yeah. Tev has a catalog, bro. If you go to 95labs.com, 95labs.com. Yeah, you got a catalog, bro.
I mean, I follow you on Spotify, and I heard all your shit already.
That's what's up. Thank you, man.
So, yeah, and your stuff, that the DeLorean I didn't get my hands on before.
Okay.
It's dope. So it's just a lot of good product, and it's just crazy to think that while you're in the studio, you're like, yo, women empowerment, I'm going to make this bitch kill everybody.
Yeah.
Hey. I don't want to get in the booth yet. Let's write this down. This chick's killing everybody.
We took a lot of time off recording to write the script, though. Like, we weren't recording while we were writing the script. We were, like, actually, and, you know, we still had a studio, a music studio, but we would meet up at the studio and just write, you know what I mean?
It's dope, man.
That was, like, a 2-3 month process, I think.
Yeah, that goes back to what he said when we talked about this before, like, doing one project at a time. I think, like, multitasking is overrated, man. You know,
I agree.
Everybody trying to do so many things at once.
I agree.
Wholeheartedly. So it's like, you know,
yeah, guilty.
Super guilty.
We all are, though. We all are. And I mean, you know, super we got guilty. The phones, we got this. There's a lot of things. We all multitask, but I feel like, you know, the more you could focus on one thing, you know, the better it could come out. You know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah. More focus, get that energy. You know, get that energy focused so you just finish what you started, which a lot of people in the city don't. But hey, that's what happens.
Yeah, if you got
why are you looking at me like that?
There, I'm waiting for you to kill me for something, man. I don't feel comfortable having even my
back. Such a bad reputation on this show.
You have to release something that's not released yet?
No. The thing is, I don't know if Jay is gonna pull a knife out.
What's your reputation, though? Because you might be a character in Pope of Israel.
Well, George would probably love that because he apparently thinks I'm extremely aggressive.
Thinks?
For what it's worth, I didn't get that vibe. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't think that Chicken Popova would be murdering people. Yeah. And then I saw Drea. No, but it's, I keep looking back, though. I think you're going to jump in. I don't know. My bad.
I'm just absorbing all of this info because I kind of want to get into a couple of other topics, but I don't know how you guys are going
to. You're not
going
to get into Space 16.
No, let's talk about it. Yeah. It sounds like you got something good to say. Let's talk about it.
Got it. Well, no, I just want to know what kind of made you guys even decide to make the transition being so prominent in the music game and being on top of this production? Like, what exactly is it that just sparked, like, making a comic book?
I think because I talked Tev into, like, making a movie, first of all.
Yeah.
We were just doing comedy. I was like, man, we need to do a movie. Bro.
We were in, like, in a creative mode, and it's like, I don't think we were differentiating between music or music video or book or film.
You guys just wanted to make something.
Yeah, I just wanted to make fly shit, you know? Like, just shit that's dope that we would consume ourselves. So, you know, I don't think there's any restriction as to what... You know, if it's music or not, you know, I think it's just an idea that we're trying to get out, and we ran with it.
What's the future of Popova? Do you guys see it being, you know, just a small series? Do you guys want to expand on this? Are we making a video game?
Netflix. Like a Netflix show would be, I would love to see it on Netflix or, you know, Amazon or something like that, you know, as an episodic series.
Yeah, that's always been the goal. I respect the comic book craft, and I would love to be able to keep making the comic book.
And that's one of the reasons we also did the comic book, because since we wanted to be as a motion picture on episodes on screen, there's a lot of graphic novels and comic books that have made it to screen. Things like Preacher, like Dexter,
Walking Dead.
So there, you know, it seems to be that, you know, these studios are picking up graphic novel, comic book type of material. So
yeah, they are. Death Note and all these other comics.
There's a, you know, so.
Well, if you need voice talents, let me know.
Listen, if you guys make any films, put me in as an extra. I'll die and whatnot. It's okay.
Hey, as long as Popova's doing it, as long as she does it,
and just make sure
maybe she'll kill you.
Hey, yeah, I like that.
Just wait till the end of the show. But yeah, man, like, I know you guys want to do episodic, like get it on Netflix and whatnot, but what would be the ideal, like the perfect scenario for you guys?
I think something like, well, look, for me artistically, mm-hmm. I'd want to have it on the screen, and I'd want to continue to keep making the comics also. Because mm-hmm. comics, writing for comics, I think is more satisfying creatively than writing for screen. Even though I think like movies are like one of the ultimate art forms, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like writing for comics, there's something about seeing your words and the words that you wrote being a part of the product, as opposed mm-hmm. to like hearing an actor interpret it in his way. Like, it's a little more connected from me to the product. Whereas a film, bro, it's gonna get interpreted by a million different people.
Right. Before, yeah, a lot of things fall through the cracks.
Yeah, you ain't blind.
I think your response is a very author response. Like,
that's how I think. Yeah.
Shoddy's a good writer, man, and like, you know, definitely, I would say like he takes the lead as like he's the writer in this. You know, like I'm writing too, but you know, he definitely takes a lead, and I learned a lot from him as well. I look at things more as a producer, and so I would answer that question as, you know, my idea is to get it to the greater masses. And, you know, I know that other people are going to be sticking their hands on it. So as long as the idea, the intellect behind the story is properly reflected, I'm good, you know?
That's dope. Yeah. I mean, as a writer, well, as an MC, a writer, all this product you put together, how difficult is it for you to start putting together this whole, like you said, it's a screenplay and all, but man, as a writer, it's gotta be a little bit of a challenge to be able to start separating so many projects without getting them all confused. I guess that goes back to the whole multitasking thing.
That's why I do one at a time. Yeah, that's why I do one. That's why I won't spit 16, because I don't got 16 right now. You know what I mean?
At least he's keeping it a buck, you know?
No, like, I mean, you know, there's only two people that so far have IOUs. That's you and Garcia.
Oh, Garcia too?
And Garcia. Yeah.
But you should come and spit that 16, though. I want to hear it.
I mean, shit.
And could you spit 16 for me?
Yo, before you get out of the car, spit 16.
Right. But I mean, are you walking?
We've been doing so much of this comic book stuff that I haven't gotten to hear Shoddy rap in a minute. So,
how long have you been working on this project? I mean, hold on.
Since it started,
I guess. No. Better question. How long did it take you to the whole production of issue one and now issue two? Not from the screenplay point of view, okay, but from the moment you said, we're putting this out.
Issue one took about 6 months. Issue two took about a year. To be honest, and that's because
there's more pages.
Yeah. There was a complication where we had to get a new artist and stuff like that, and it was just like we had to jump through some hoops to even start the process. But once we started, I think we flowed pretty well. Like, the writing was, I think, easier this time around.
Mm-hmm. I think we learned how to make a comic book. That's the truth, you know?
Yeah,
who the fuck knows how to make a comic book? Because I didn't know how to make one. neither did you, really. So, you know, so we were like, all right, let's fucking make it, you know? And, you know, you learn by doing, they say, so I guess that's true. And that's what it is. I mean, once we learned how to do issue one, once we got the new artist for issue two, I think we were... Like you said, there was a flow. Yeah. There was a flow, you know, because we already know, like, you know, how things should flow, how the beat should hit. It's like once you do it one time through.
You've already done this dance once.
It's maybe like podcasting. You know, are you as nervous on this podcast as you were in your first one?
Definitely not.
Exactly.
Boy, yeah. We still got that recorded.
I actually have a question for you guys, because as creatives and being that you guys are involved in so many different spectrums of the entertainment industry, ultimately what you want to do is please the crowd, get some sort of message across, but mainly entertain. What exactly is your hope for people once they either see or read any of the stuff that you guys have put together with Popova? What exactly do you want people to take from it besides entertainment?
I don't know that I project an expectation on people, right? Like, I don't think we came up with this with an agenda that we want you to think this. If anything, we want you to think. Like, if I hope that anyone gets anything from this, it's that. It's that. Let's think a little bit about what is the patriarchy? What is feminism? What are the gender roles in society? So it's like...
And why is it so fly to take male roles and put them on women? You know, why is that fly, you know? Like, have you ever thought of that? You know, why is it that, yeah, that we think that's fly? Because at the end of the day, the violence trait, that's a male trait, right?
Well, yeah. I love that direction.
And you know, it's also to ask, like, you know, we could have, you know, glorified, you know, more maternal type of traits, but those are not glorified in this particular
situation. Why
was that omitted?
Why is it, quote unquote, superior to possess male traits? Like, who said one was better?
Or why are some people interpreting it as superior?
Right.
You know, so it's more of a, I think it's a philosophical question, really, you know, if you start, you know, pulling down the layers.
I mean,
shout out to my philosophers.
Well, you answered my question.
Philosophy reigns supreme.
There is purpose behind it.
Yeah, there is, but it's not so much like we think this way and we want you to think this way. It's more like, you know, maybe let's start asking a little more questions. Like, it's okay to ask questions about things.
I think we learned a lot, you know, writing this, you know,
and absolutely,
and studying, you know, the women's issues and women's lib. And the culture stuff that's going on and has been going on.
See, that's a good point. Now, with all this that's happening right now, with the judge?
Kavanaugh.
Yeah. All of this is happening. How do you think Popova would handle this?
Well, I mean,
I can answer that for you.
Yes,
that's pretty obvious. I mean,
but just look at our logo, right?
For sure. Would you like an example?
See what I'm saying?
Now I see it.
But that's the thing. Like, do you guys take cues from situations like this now? Are you taking small cues for a future issue?
I try not to. Like, is it going to find itself into the work? Probably, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that'll probably be unconsciously. But, like, we try not to go into, like, Trump and Me Too and be super
specific
about it. You know what I mean? Like, so as far as for me, I'm not trying to push a certain agenda.
Okay.
Yeah, and I agree with you too, because I would like the story to be able to be read, and, you know, in the future, maybe there is no Kavanaugh or Trump or anything happening in 10-15 years from now.
Yeah. And I don't want you to have to be either a left winger or a white or a right winger to understand
the
story.
Or,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Fact. I mean, what do you guys see as a future of Popova now? Your issue two, your second issue in. You're already working on the third, I imagine.
So this second issue wraps up the first arc, right? So, like, issues one and two, they're like an arc, and we're going to turn that into a graphic novel. And that's the next thing that's coming out after this.
In color, too. So it'll be like a paperback in color. And then, so this story, there's a somewhat of an ending to it, although the world keeps going and, you know, like, there's all kinds of threads that are open. But this particular Pope of a story has a little kind of a...
Like closure?
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhat of a closure. It resolves. That's about better way. It's not, it doesn't close. It resolves that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we should shout out Ari Ciarazade, the artist for episode two. He's an amazing, amazing artist. And he took, like, Yasmin's interpretations from issue one and just took it to a really dramatic place. And it's more cinematic. It's a lot more shadowy. So he did an awesome job with issue two. Yeah.
He's out of Indonesia, so we were working remotely with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. How is that, working remotely with people?
It can be frustrating.
It could be, yeah. You know, but with him,
it was difference. Good. Like, there's a time difference. There's just a lot of factors that you got to, especially when you're used to, like, me and Tev in the studio, we get something done right away.
I think it also forces you to write better, you know, because if you're not writing the description of the panel correctly.
Yeah.
Then it's not, you know, then he's not...
You're wasting time going back and forth trying, you know, to get that vision.
So, you know, if he's interpreting your writing, that's also showing you that you're writing a good description of the panel,
right?
You know, aside from the dialogue, it's just like, you know, panel one, the person sitting in, you know, doing a podcast, he's standing here.
Yeah.
You know.
Damn.
What's your favorite part about what you guys have been doing with Popova together? And what do you think is your least favorite thing about the whole process?
I think my favorite thing is hearing everyone's interpretations of the story. And it feels like everyone that I speak to picks up something differently from it. And I think that's really cool. And sometimes it's like people point stuff out that like I didn't even realize. You know, we wrote the thing, you know? So it's it's kind of cool that it's able to be interpreted in so many different ways. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah. I like that too. I mean, it's, I think, a process of writing when you read things over and you reflect on your art and you kind of learn from what you were doing subconsciously. Because a lot of these things are not so deliberate when you're starting to write, you know? Mm-hmm. You're not like with this grand master plan and everything is all perfect. But then when you start reflecting on what you wrote, then you could start
you see how it falls into place.
How it starts falling into place. So that's one of my favorite parts. Least favorite, I think it's just more of the time that it takes to do a comic compared to like something like music, you know? Mm-hmm. Music, you can bang out a record, you can mix it right there, you can have it online quick, fast, you know? But to get an artist to draw something out and do all these pages and actually print a book.
Yeah, it takes some time.
It's a little more old school, you know?
My least favorite is the marketing aspect. Because it's so political, you know what I mean?
Yeah, unfortunately it is. It's like pulling teeth sometimes.
Yeah.
To get any kind of push for anything you're doing.
I like marketing, though. You know what I mean? I like that. I like the marketing. I like the sales part, too.
Man, let me tell you.
We're going to help you guys out with a little bit.
You hit me up. All right. I was thinking. I was like, yo, I need to hit up Shoddy about this. Boom. Yo, what's up? Let's do this. Like, yo, out of nowhere, we synced and it worked out.
Yeah.
I'm glad you guys came out. I'm glad to see the projects out. I'm glad
you guys have it.
From the first one, which blew me away, the second one, I'm kind of like, man, I really like the black and white toy. Like the whole idea of the black and white, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really vibe on. Well, I've been reading the Walking Dead ones, so
nice.
So that's some of the stuff that's some of the things that I like about it. And a lot of the storyline is plot twist, plot twist, plot twist. And I say plot twist because I don't expect none of that shit to happen.
That's good.
You know, at all.
That's
like
good.
A lot of times they telegraph what's about to happen, pero.
Nah, when you're so deep in the trenches of writing it and stuff, you forget where the twists are because we already know what happens in the story. So like when people read it and they tell me, yo, I didn't expect that to happen and shit, I'm like, oh shit, that's right, dude.
That's right. We did that. I mean, what are some, do you guys draw inspiration of other comic books when you were putting this together?
Definitely. We read a lot of Clandestino.
Which one of the artists did a cover for us?
Yeah, actually the cover, that's another cool thing that happened is like this comic book that we were reading, you know, we decided to hit the guy up.
A monkey nail palm, right?
Yeah, to do a variant cover. And we're like, ah, let's just throw a shot in the dark. Let's see what happens. This is a comic that we're fans of, you know? And dude, we got him to do the variant cover.
Wow. So Clandestino was one. I was reading Fight Club 2, which is very cool. A follow-up to Fight Club by Chuck. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Palahniuk.
The guy that wrote... the book or the comic?
The comic book.
Okay.
So it goes back to like, you know, really focusing on one thing. And I was reading comic books like a madman, going to Midtown Comics every Wednesday, picking up, like getting really entrenched in the culture, you know, like going out, banging out, buying comics and like trying to be a comic, like I'm like the complete comic book head, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it's just like dive in.
And that's another like adjustment that we had to make too. It wasn't just artistically. It's like, all right, let's see what this comic book world is all about too. I'd never been to a comic con. Before we put out the first
one,
I'd never been to a comic con. I like.
And comics. I told him like, "Yo, we got to go to a comic con." So you know,
yeah, that's what I had. But, you know, I know from social media, you're all about that. Like you putting your two cents for a lot of story arcs and stuff.
Yeah.
And so, how was your first experience in being engulfed in the scene?
I don't know if comic cons are the comic book scene.
No,
that's
no,
what
no,
I
literally not. No, for sure. Like, no, what I'm saying.
I'm
no,
like, oh, this is
definitely not.
This is the cosplay scene. This
yeah,
is the
yeah, it's all yeah, cosplay. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, like, in the sense of you're in the trenches with everyone else that's pushing their own comics.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's what I mean. That's what I reference.
Yeah, it's cool. It's different from hip hop because, like, I think hip hop is so competitive and comics is too, but I found it to be way more friendly. And people will talk to you. It's not this whole competition kind of thing. Like hip hop, man, it's like
the comic book scene is a lot less braggadocial than the hip hop scene.
Yeah. You
know? So if anything, we're like a little bit too turned up, you know.
But like hip hop's all about the like, that's like
you know,
all
who are these
ego.
Dudes
you
writing.
You guys were the aggressors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We were
too turned up for the comic.
Yeah, you know, so it's kinda like trying to find that balance. But yeah, it's different, and it's actually very cool. The vibe is really nice, and it's awesome to see people in cosplay too. And like, I don't do that, and it's, you know, it's not something for me, you know. Mm-hmm. But like, to see people be happy doing what they like, you know, I see a lot of happiness.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
You know, so it's something that you don't see in hip hop too much. People are not happy, you know. Nah, I was talking about this with Sean. He's like, people were sad, and you know, like a lot of this music got people depressed, man. You know, like, you know, where's the happiness, a smile or something? You know, yeah. Like,
nah, you put that many people, hip hop people, in a room like the Comic Con, that's fights for sure.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure. Yeah, that's a fight. Yeah. How can I be down? Back in the day,
oh yeah.
How can I beat down?
Yeah. How can I beat down? Right.
All the time, man. And that's I guess I asked because, you know, I'm a big fanatic of all these events, and you know, trying to see who the artist is for the so and so things, and seeing that you guys have done it, you guys are really getting into this. That's where my curiosity comes in. You know, what's been the reaction of established people that have put out comics already in the reaction to you guys?
I mean, all the reviews, with the exception of like two of them, have been positive. Dumb. And the two that haven't been positive, it's like funny because they're not really criticizing the work. They're criticizing the fact that two guys are making a comic about feminism. And it's like, oh, wow. How dare we make a comic about feminism? Where I'm of the belief that if you're a writer, it's your job to put yourself into other characters. It doesn't matter if
it's funny,
different race, different gender. It doesn't matter, you know?
I think it's been funny to us to be criticized like for people that supposedly are so about equality, then, you know,
right.
why can't we, you know, write a story about women then, you know? So what?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy to me. And like what's crazy to me is that we were a little blindsided by it. I think like we were almost ignorant of the fact that like this might be considered controversial to some people until it actually was, you know? Yeah. So like when I read that first one, I was like, damn, for real, y'all are mad that I'm writing a comic about like badass women? That, like, okay, you know? It's weird, you know?
And yeah. I think that's what drew me to it even more. The fact that it was a strong, like, when you open the book, you know it's about females, but
yeah.
When you just start seeing the story unfold, you know, women empowerment is incredible.
Yeah,
that's what I like about it. You know, I come from the same household as you guys. You know what I mean? Surrounded by women, no father, and I feel women should be empowered at all times. Girl Talk Radio before 305 Radio.
And that's also important. Like, if you're really a feminist, right, then you shouldn't treat feminism with little kid gloves. Like, your any ideology that you believe in should be able to be held up to scrutiny. If it's that strong, you should be able to scrutinize it, you know? So we're, like, giving it that respect where we're not treating it with, like some little play shit. Like, we're asking the real questions. We're asking the tough questions because I think it deserves that, you know? Mm.
I, for one, love that, and it is very surprising to see that you have created these characters with so much strength, and it's coming from a male perspective. So I'm sure everybody's going to get a kick out of that. We're actually running out of time, so we're going to have to start wrapping it up. However, we kind of like to end this on a positive note. We like for our listeners...
Shadi wants to spit 16.
We like to give our listeners some sort of advice from the professionals that come through here. So is there any piece of advice that you can give to any of our listeners, whether they're writing comic books or doing screenplay, whether it be personal or professional?
What's dope about the time that we're living in now is that whatever you want to do, you can do it. So if I would give advice to anyone, it'd be like, get off your ass and do it, because there's no excuse anymore.
Just do it.
Yeah, we decided we wanted to make a comic, and like Tab said, we don't know shit about making comics.
Well, now we do.
here we are with a comic, two hip hop dudes. You know,
that's dope.
Yeah, definitely. Really dope. And also, I think that, you know, I think we've already brought this up. Is like do as many variety as you like, but do, I would say, at least one or two things at a time, you know? You know, don't try to get so... I wouldn't try to record 5 albums at once, you know, although Kanye did, so I don't know, right?
Yeah, but Kanye is a little...
Kanye's Kanye.
Yeah. but, you know, I would say, you know, just do one project, finish it, and then go right next to the next one. But market it, too, and that's kind of been our screw-up. It's like, you know, we are marketing and then doing another project, but...
Right.
But yeah, to answer your question, yeah, do
one balance project and focus.
But yeah, very sharp on the targets. Totally. One thing at a time.
I mean, so what else you guys got coming up with Popova?
The graphic novel is the next thing. So that'll be colored by Shane Bailey. Shout out to Shane Bailey. Yeah, it's going to have some nice colors on it now. You're going to be able to, so you can have both versions, you know. We thought it'd be cool to kind of differentiate it from the regular issues. Mm-hmm. That's the next thing coming out.
Yeah, publish that as a complete book, and that way, you know, it's there on the stands, and you can get it hopefully 2, 3, 4 years from now, still read that book, you know. The thing with comic books is that they're disposable, you know, they're more like a newspaper or a magazine.
Right. So, whereas a graphic novel, you put it on the shelf with the rest of your books.
So. Yeah, man. Some stories are just timeless, bro.
Yeah.
Some, you just keep them away, keep them up forever.
Hopefully this is one.
Shit, yeah.
Man. Guys, where can we find Popova? Where can we find you guys on social media and all platforms?
PopovaWorld.com. We have the comic books on there. We got a nice bundle, too, that comes with buttons and stickers and posters. We have a nice variant cover by the homie Ian Cinco. Shout out to Ian. He did an incredible wraparound variant cover based on the character of Panda. You can find me on Instagram at ShottyID4. That's ShottyIDEE4. You're going to have to rewind that like 3 times. And Shotty Music on Twitter.
Yeah, find us at popovaworld.com, on Instagram, popova_comic, and you can check me out on Instagram, 95lens.
Well, I gotta stop the live.
George, where can we find you on social media?
Well, you can find me on social media. Everything at 305 Magazine. I'm on everything, man. So if you got any questions, you want to hit me up about anyone.
You know, big shout out to you guys.
Thank you.
Big shout out to you. Thank you so much.
Man, fuck that. I'm a fan of you guys.
For real.
Fuck that shit. Fuck that shit. So I'll be honest. Anytime someone brings up MCs, I go, look, you're not going to like my list, bro. You're not going to like my list. Shotty's on my list, man.
What's your list? What's your list?
No, I can't talk about it. But you on that
when
list,
you come bro. Back to drop you those 16,
when Shotty
we'll get
shows
into
up
it.
To spit 16, I'll give you my whole list.
That's what's up.
But, you know, you can find me on 305 Magazine, everything. Brownie_Brownie.
So you guys can find Brownie. Me on the gram at 305_Brownie. I want to take this time to give a shout out to everybody who's been a part of the DBD and Friends Secret Sundays brunch going down every Sunday. Starts at 1 o'clock till 5 p.m. We got bottomless mimosas, a lot of special guests. We got your favorite vendors. If you guys need any information for that, you guys can go at DBD_Inc. Tonight we are at Take Flight Mondays over at G5. Make sure you guys G5. Go out there. We're celebrating the birthday of our brother K, Murder DJ Killer K. So happy birthday to you, homie. Shout out to Lady Vixen, who was out in Miami this weekend and got to kick it with us. What are you guys doing for Halloween? Because we're in October already, holiday season.
Trick or treat. Trick
or treat. I want candy, guys. That's all I want, candy.
Do you guys dress up for Halloween?
I'm going to dress up. I got a little boy, so I got him. You know, nice. I'm going to take him out and, maybe I'll get dressed up. I'm usually Darth Vader.
Okay.
No, yeah, maybe, but I got the Vader mask. You know, I jump out with the kids and stuff.
Dope. How about you, Sean?
I'm gonna dress up as a rapper and drop a 6.
So he will not be on the show. That.
And you, George?
I have no idea, bro. I'm trying to scare people.
I was gonna be a unicorn, but I think I'm gonna be Popova.
Oh, shit.
I think I'm going to have to switch it up.
Oh. So I'll probably be a victim.
Probably. In real life, though, not just on Halloween.
I'm done with this podcast.
So, guys, thank you so much for being a part of the show. Definitely one to remember. You guys can catch 305 Radio right here on Miami Underground Radio every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can follow us at 305 Radio or catch us at 305 Magazine.
Yeah.
We will see you guys next week. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
Hold on. You sure you don't want to spit 16?
No. Not about it, no.
There you go.